Hey, everybody. Just a quick note before you listen to this episode, there is no one but me on here. So if you do not like my lovely voice, you have been warned. If you do not have a problem with it and you want to hear me talk about the 10 most anticipated movies of the fall, how much I hate Oasis and how much I dislike pumpkin spice beer, then give it a go. It's only 30 plus minutes, not very long, so maybe you can get through, and it allows me to get an episode out this week, and hopefully, mark my words, John and Tom, let's get and find a day. It's going to have to be a weekend, and let's make it happen. Let's get back to our regular Sunday or something. Maybe we get together for football this weekend and record an episode watching football. I don't know. We'll find out. Yep, that's the episode. I do mention our show, unofficial or official sponsor of the show, Beer Sauce Shop at 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive. I also talk about Stan. Don't forget, Stan needs a new bean. And then, also don't forget Butcher Queen coming out here in September. Look for that comic, two good guys, Jim Owsley and Ben Sawyer. So they came on the show last episode. Go back and listen to that. I even talk about that a little bit, but that's about it. So here we come, or here comes the bomb. Either way, you know what I'm talking about, right? Now. I am back, and I am back to another solo episode, so for however long I go on this one, you're just going to have to nut up and take it, because the flop, my lovely wife, she definitely wanted a quiet evening tonight, which means we'll probably drink a bottle of wine, catch up on some TV, something. It's the one night of the week we don't have plans, so that meant no podcast. And the reason the boys are here is because they continuously play hard to get from anymore. And then that's not exactly true. I'm just giving them a hard time. It's very hard for us to get together right now. When softball's done, I promise I will stop saying this over and over that it's hard for us to get together. Eventually, though, we will all get back together. In fact, I was thinking of reaching out and scheduling a weekend where we could play Super Fight, which is kind of the superhero version of Cards Against Humanity, and maybe record it or stream it live and put it on YouTube and all that good stuff, and then see how it goes, because we're due to get back together. We're due to get a good drunk on during the podcast, and hopefully that happens in the next couple of weeks, couple or 3 weeks. When it does get cold, we tend to put out more episodes, so that's a good thing. Speaking of drinking, I don't know what's sadder, drinking alone or podcasting alone, so my only way to justify doing either one is to do them together, because somehow I feel two wrongs make a right, and, you know, that means today, I just wanted to tell you, I am drinking a Hofbräu München Hefeweizen, or if you're layman's term, a Hefeweizen, you know, because the Labor Day's came and gone. I believe that was the last holiday, right, Labor Day? Which usually means that summer, we bid adieu to summer. In fact, I just saw a cool article on Applebee's that I'll put a pin in and get back to that here in a second. But with saying goodbye to summer, that means it's time for two different style of beers. One I absolutely can't stand, and this may be a hot take, maybe an unpopular opinion, but I fucking hate pumpkin spice beers in every form, in every fashion. In fact, I hate pumpkin spice in everything. I feel like if you're a spice and you're only made once a year, then you're not a very good spice. That's just my take. But more importantly for me, one that I do like a little more, it's not my favorite style of beer, that like a Marzen or anything, but it is Oktoberfest time. So we're going to get a lot of those flooding the market for a while. And I think that of all people, Sam Adams probably has one of the better ones. So that, and that's one of the reasons I looked in my fridge and saw it was in there. I thought, oh, Hofbräu, that's a very good German-style beer. So it's a German-style time of the year, Oktoberfest. So that's why I'm drinking that. But back to Applebee's, I literally just saw this like 2 seconds before I started recording. I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently Applebee's has a dollar cocktails, and they do them all month. And they're doing one that they're calling the Adios to Summer. It is called the Adios, which is pretty appropriate since that's what's in the title of the clickbait I just did. But it fuses vodka, rum, tequila, and gin. That is a lot of fucking liquor. And then it gets this vibrant blue from the Blue Curaçao, or Curaçao, or however the hell you say that. It comes in a 10-ounce mug and is a colorful twist on the Long Island iced tea, according to its press release. I mean, it's a dollar all month, 21 or over, they say. But I just don't, I mean, I got a feeling I'm going to be going to Applebee's this month, because $1 for a 10-ounce hard liquor that's blue, first off, that's an appealing color. And so I'm going to give that a go. I don't care what people think about me drinking a blue drink at a table. I'm going to tell them, hey, it's a buck, and I guarantee by the end of the day I'll have a crowd, because everybody, nothing says camaraderie like sharing a $1 drink full of hard fucking liquor. So that's what I'm going to do at some point. It's got nothing to do with the podcast or getting the other guys, unless they want to join me, in which case we'll get shit-faced on $1 drinks and come back and record an awful episode, which can't be any worse than some of the awful ones we had in the past. So anyway, all that said, there was a couple of things I did want to talk about to you, with you. One was Fandango, if you're aware of the popular Fandango website. They've come out with a podcast, or podcast, a list, and I apologize, I got a work text as I was sitting there, which is, you know, always going to have to quote-unquote take precedence, but as I'm sitting here at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday with my day done, then you can obviously see where I'm not too overly thrilled about that. But anyway, Fandango, popular movie app, you can buy your tickets, I use it. I don't know if it's any more cheaper, there's any advantage over a regular, if so, tell me. I don't ever take advantage of the club rewards, because half the time it won't let me sign into it. But if there's any perks to using it, by God, I'll definitely use it. But they came out with a list of the 10 most anticipated fall movies. Now, keep in mind, this list stops in November, because anything in December would be considered a winter movie, and that's when The Rise of Skywalker comes out, and that's got to be just the most anticipated movie of the year, I would think, outside of Endgame, and probably going to be the next great argument. Let's hope not. Let's hope we're all in agreement that it's going to be great. Let's hope Bender and I both love it, and we won't have another 40-minute fight on the episode like we did last time. But anyway, I just wanted to run down in reverse from 10 to 1 on the most anticipated fall movies of 2019. Number 10 is Ad Astra. I have no clue what that is. I believe that Brad Pitt's in it. I could be wrong, but if so, great. The next, Charlie's Angels, that features, Kristen Stewart, forever sad face, Kristen Stewart, who's never been happy in any role she's ever taken. After that, Downton Abbey, the movie. I'll be honest with you, that one's probably going to be a big success, even though I never watched the show. I don't know anyone that watched the show, but I do know that the show was ungodly popular. Probably as popular, and to an extent, in a shorter window, more popular than even the BBC export that we love the most here, and that's Doctor Who. But Downton Abbey, pretty big, so it's going to be good. Next one looks amazing, and it's probably going to have a lot of Oscar buzz around it. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and that is Mr. Tom Hanks being Mr. Rogers. If you haven't watched the documentary on Mr. Rogers, you got to check that out. Yeah, that dude was awesome. That's all there is to it. He's more than just, you know, the guy that talked to puppets, and I mean, as a kid growing up, I remember enjoying the show, but as an adult, seeing what that guy went through and all the things he stood for and all that stuff, just a cool dude. So check that one out. Well, I'd be interested in that. I probably won't see it in the theater, but I definitely want to see it. After that, number 6, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. That's a hard pass. There was a time in the world where Angelina Jolie, I thought, was the hottest woman in the world. Like, there was some... She was very pretty, she was very exotic, and then she had this crazy raw sex appeal. And even in throughout the Billy Bob Thornton years, she survived all that. I don't know what happened. I guess age. Maybe age caught up to her. And I know she had some health problems, but I'm not trying to say the woman's not attractive anymore, but I'm going to say that she's no longer on the list. I don't even know what the list. One day I'm going to sit down and make the list, because I know Missy probably has one. She used to do a March Manliness, with the hottest guys in the world were battling out to win her affection. Or at least that's how it went down in my mind. After that, this is the one I'm super excited about. I'd like to go to the theater and see it, but every time I say I want to go to the theater and see a movie, it never happens, because the family's got to be on board too. It's Zombieland, Double Tap. All the original cast is back, so I can't wait to see it. The name, hilarious name. And New Girl, I don't know who the new girl in the movie is, but I think it's Jesse Eisenberg's love interest or love triangle with old Emma Stone. I don't know. I'm just excited about it. Another one I'm excited about, and I'd kind of like to get me and Bender to go see this. We saw we saw Terminator Salvation, I believe, in the theater together. But this one looks really a lot better, and this would be Terminator Dark Fate with Arnold, of course, back. And then we have, what's her name? You know her name. Fuck it. You know who it is. Linda Hamilton, right? I believe Linda Hamilton. She's back, and she looks as ripped as all get out. And, by the way, I heard on the radio today that she has not had sex in 15 years. I hope Missy doesn't listen to this episode and hope she doesn't read about that, because that's not an option that's on the table. It just ain't, okay? So, but whatever it is for her, it's working. She's aged very well. She's in massively good shape for this, like she was for T2 back in the day. So I do want to check it out. It looks pretty good. And no offense to everyone else, I think Eddie Furlong might be in this as well, which would be weird. After this is another movie that thankfully I have no care to see, and my daughters probably won't, and that would be Frozen Part 2. Although I will say, though, the trailer looked kind of cool, so I gotta imagine I'll end up watching it at some point. Then we get to two interesting ones for different reasons. I'll just tell you number one, and then I'll jump back to number two. Number one is It Chapter 2. I'm very excited about that. We're going to take the family because we're great parents. I've said it on the show before. Hayden thought It 1 was one of the funniest movies of the year outside of the garage scene. She didn't think there was anything scary about it. She was just genuinely concerned that a kid might die, which I guess is a sign of a good movie because she was emotionally invested in the character. And I just loved the movie. I thought it was an awesome version of the movie, even though, you know, Tim Curry was an incredibly good Pennywise. I think that the younger Skarsgård, I believe he's the youngest Skarsgård, he did an amazing job, I think. And we can't wait to go see this as a family, and I think that's what's going to happen. So family scary movie day. That happens, right? That's a real thing. So that's it. That's a big one. But the other one, the number two most anticipated, according to Fandango, would be Joker. And now this was a very polarizing trailer when it came out because we talked about it on here. I think it's hard to argue that the movie at least piqued your interest, no matter what side of the fence you fell on. But there's a significant amount of people that do not like the idea of turning Joker into a compassionate, have a tragic background. They don't want him to be the compassionate villain. They don't want to feel sorry for him and why he got there, because that's not what Joker is. And I agree with that. Joker is a force of chaos, an undescribable, impossible to read bad guy that has no motives, that your only motive is to cause general chaos. And that's what makes Joker great. However, I will say this. The movie definitely is kind of turning all that on its ear, but the early reviews are saying that we may get another Oscar nod for Joker because, I don't know, I mean, Heath Ledger did an amazing job. I said from the get-go, Joaquin Phoenix is a good choice. You heard it here. You can go back and listen to the archives, but it looks like the newest trailer to me looks great. It may not be a great Joker story, but that might not change the fact that it's a great story. And I don't know. I haven't looked this up, and it's kind of hard since I'm doing this by myself to check it out. But is Joker, if Joaquin Phoenix was to win, would he be the first actor? He might be the second actor, because I'd have to check the Godfather franchise. But the second pair of actors to win an Oscar for playing the same character. I think that was accomplished in the Godfather trilogy. I'm almost certain it is, but it certainly would be the first time in a comic book movie, or a movie from a comic, you know, that based on a comic book character. So that's pretty big. One of the other things that's crazy about this list that I just read is we don't have a Marvel movie. We don't have a Star Wars movie in fall. We got the one in the winter. So But we're pretty with the Endgame and then Spider-Man Far From Home, we're pretty quiet on the Marvel front, which is not a bad thing. Build up anticipation for the next phase. That's fine with me. But there's some articles I've read that said this may end up being like one of the biggest blockbuster falls of all time. Hard to argue. I mean, it Chapter 2 is going to bring in money. Joker's going to bring in money. Frozen's probably going to bring in stupid money. You know, there's fingers crossed in Terminator Dark Fate, and I believe Zombieland built up enough of a following from the first one that it will bring money. Maleficent, that's probably one that they have fingers crossed on. A Beautiful Day to Neighborhood will make the money it needs. It'll be critically acclaimed. That's all that matters. I'm sure Downton Abbey between here and domestic and overseas is going to make a ton of money. Charlie's Angels, I'm going to say flop. I'm going to say Charlie's Angels and Ad Astra flops. And I don't know what they're... I think Astra is another one of those Oscar contender style movies. But there's just no... I mean, I just can't see a reboot for Charlie's Angels to be that exciting. I will say this. Ad Astra has 86% Rotten Tomatoes and an 8.1 IMDb and a 5 out of 5 IndieWire. So... I guess it's all about Brad Pitt, who is a man who's journeying across the solar system to find his missing father, renegade scientist who poses a threat to humanity. James Gray is the director. Who was James Gray? What has he done? He has done... looks like he's... Here's what he's done. He's always written books. Oh, and stuff. Okay. He's done some other movies, too, but... Silver Lion Award for Best Director, but I don't know anything about the movie other than what I just read to you. I will tell you that... Oh, he did We Own the Night. That's a pretty good movie. Two Lovers, I've known that. The Immigrant. Lost City of Z. I don't know about that, but I don't know. Anyway, I don't predict... So let's hope that does good, but I predict the Charlie's Angel remake as a complete flop. For one, it's got always sad Kristen Stewart, who needs somebody needs to give her a balloon. You know, when she's not making those damn Twilight movies, she just doesn't have any worth, I don't think. But that's not true, because I think she's done some critically good movies. I will say this, Adventureland, she's in that. That's a good movie. But again, she's very sad in that movie. She's just sad in every movie. There's some cool stories out there about her. I guess her dad was a PA, not a PA, but like a... ran a soundstage or what have you, and I can't remember what TV show it was, but it was like either HBO's, like one of the HBO ones, or like the Today Show or whatever, the Daily Show, something like that, where he worked on that. Oh no, I know what it was. It was the one with Chris Hardwick, I can't think of the name of it now, but the one where all the comedians were on there all the time. Oh, At Midnight. And they constantly just lambasted her for the movies that were coming out during that time. And her dad was ran the soundstage or whatever on that show. And that Chris said it was made for awkward shows, but he understood. He's like, hey, you know, she's an actress. This is what she did. So cool dad. So maybe she is cool, but she certainly seems to be a bummer on every role that she's ever chosen. So... the other thing I wanted to talk about, that's the movies anyway. So if you listen to this episode and you think, well, Jeremy, you just got it all wrong, here's which one of those movies is going to be great, and here's which one. By the way, the one I'm most anticipated, looking forward to is It Chapter 2, followed by Joker, and then Zombieland, and, which was the other ones? After Zombieland, it would be probably Terminator, yeah. I mean, that's safe to say. That's the ones that I really want to see out of that list. So that was one thing I wanted to talk about. The other thing, though, I wanted to talk about is I don't know how much I've ever talked about it on here, but I hate the band Oasis. I hate everything. I hated them when they were new. I hated the fucking song Champagne Supernova. I can sing it word for word, which makes me hate it fucking worse. I hate the Gallagher brothers. I think there's a great story about their MTV Unplugged set where... I don't know if it was Noel or Liam, but one of them decided to mail it in and then showed up day of, hammer-faced drunk in the same clothes he started the weekend, and threw things and heckled. That just kind of summarizes how shitty they are. But anyway, the Foo Fighters apparently don't feel the same way about me. And we know how we love Dave Grohl in this show, me and the Flop especially. Well, I guess they recently did a show, a headlining performance at the Reading Festival, and they dubbed it as a campaign to reunite Oasis. They said, one of these days, we'll get Oasis back. One of these days, proclaimed Taylor Hawkins, who must be a big fan. And he had his bass drum with a photo of the Gallagher brothers. And Dave Grohl said, we're trying. He goes, let's sign a petition, everyone here, okay? And Hawkins added, how many people want to see fucking Oasis play a show? Well, everyone cheered. It was a good little moment. But apparently, there's one person who doesn't, and that would be Noel Gallagher. So during a concert in San Diego the following Wednesday, this would have been last week, he said publicly, I'd like to start a petition to get the Foo Fighters to split up. Which, he is an asshole. And then his brother, Liam, who I guess is the lesser of two evils here, he went to Twitter and said, he said, we're going to do Oasis the Musical. Five lads from Manchester start a band and take on the world. The little one who writes the songs turns into a massive cunt sack. Everyone except his little brother, as he ain't got the arse to split up the band. There's a storyline for you. The end. LGX. That's Liam Gallagher, and I don't know. So let me try to dissect that. He goes, okay, here's the story, because he used no punctuation. All right. Five lads from Manchester start a band and to take on the world. One who writes the songs turns into a massive cunt sack. Everyone except his little brother, as he ain't got the arse, splits up the band. There's a storyline. So it's just a weird, I can't even dissect that. All I know is that there's animosity there. The brothers still hate each other, probably worse than the Fogertys. I know they hated each other. I think even on deathbed, they couldn't come to one. I believe John Fogerty's still alive. I believe it's his brother and him still wouldn't reconcile on his brother's deathbed. But, I mean, first off, that's a funny tweet. I mean, that's a funny tweet about their life story, summed up pretty good. What's not funny is, I mean, if you get a mega popular band, then the Foo Fighters, who the Oasis did have popularity, they did have some critical acclaim, even though all their songs suck ass, in my opinion, and it is my opinion, I understand that, but the Foo Fighters are a massively popular band with a mega following, are way more successful if you wager success financially than Oasis ever was, and they probably, in album sales, and some of that has to do with longevity and how many albums Foo Fighters make. It's like every other week they can kick out another full album. But a very, and a respected musician, and Dave Grohl, who was a member of Nirvana, which Oasis was at after. I mean, they were after Nirvana. So you would think that would be flattering, like, we appreciate it. It's just not going to happen. Me and my cunt-faced brother, or however it is the Brits want to say it. And I apologize for using the word cunt so much, but you have to understand, when we're talking about people from Europe, whether, I can't remember if they're Scottish, Irish, or whatever they are, they use that word in a different sense. Now, it can be bad, but it's not quite as bad as the connotations we put on it here. But you would think that they would say something like that, even though my brother, you know, and I are never going to see eye to eye. That would be the adult way to handle this. Instead, to say, I'd like to start a petition to get the Foo Fighters to split up. What an asshole. I mean, that just encompasses everything about that band I hate. Other than, and I challenge you to read the lyrics for Champagne Supernova, which, and I quote, he said to MTV, well, the lyrics don't really mean much of anything. They just rhymed and I thought they sounded good to the melody. So, it's dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. Not a fan. And boy, I even had another thought there before I got myself worked up about hating on them even more. They once said, I know what it was going to be, once said, and I enjoy System of a Down. You may or may not, I don't know. But when System of a Down was out, I believe Noel Gallagher did an interview on the State of Music, and if he was going to come out with a new project. And he says, I feel like I should, even though I don't want to, because the state of the music right now is just an absolute shitter. He goes, take a band like System of a Down for once. The only good thing that I can say about them is when my kids ask me what was the shittiest band you've ever seen, I can say it was System of a Down. So they've done that for music. I mean, what an asshole. I mean, it's a colossal asshole. which is just, I don't know. If you're a fan of Oasis, I appreciate you listening to the show, but I'd love for you to come explain to me why. I would welcome anyone that is a massive fan of Oasis to come on here and tell me why Oasis is so great. And even if they were good guys, I still would hate their music. Unfortunately, though, they're not good guys. Or fortunately for me, it makes it easier to hate their music because they're not good guys. So that's just it. Hashtag Oasis is good, or hashtag Oasis is bad, or just hashtag great. Or how about this? Hashtag Oasis great, hashtag Oasis sucks. You let me know. I mean, if more people come out and say Oasis is great on the Twitters, I will acquiesce. That's not true. I will think you're all wrong, but I will at least respect your opinion to be wrong, which we can have a little more of in this world. But I'm not looking forward to it. I am looking forward to if we can find one big Oasis fan that listens to this show to come on and talk to me. In fact, in my whole life, I've known one Oasis fan, and his name was Eric, and I worked at him at Walmart when he was in college. He may still be, but he was just a fan of that kind of music. He also was a guitar player, kind of played that very slower stuff. Oh, speaking of that, we did Wayback Point Fest this weekend, me and the Flop. Rick from the Beer Sauce Shop, he was there. Him and his brother and his son. His son, if I remember from his text, it was his son's first ever crowd surfing day, and he loved it. Apparently his son had a blast. I will say this. We got there during Cowboy Mouth, who know how to work a crowd. After Cowboy Mouth, we ran over to Gin Blossoms, which I love some of the songs from Gin Blossoms. I do not like seeing the Gin Blossoms live. I can tell you that. We watched the one song that we really wanted to hear, and we came back, and we got ready for Goldfinger. And Goldfinger was great. What was even cooler and more rock and roll, more punk rock, is there was lightning, so we had to delay the show. The concert had to be delayed for 30 minutes. And he was told, he's from California, they don't get a lot of lightning storms, so he was told, you have to get off the stage. And everybody, Moon from 105.7 The Point, local radio station here, if you don't know, also Creek Fire from that band, former guitar player and Story of the Year. He is one of the Midwest members of the band here for Goldfinger. He left the stage. All of the band left the stage. One Nut Nick, as they were calling him, he left the stage. But Goldfinger, the lead singer, which, what's his name? His name is Josh, I believe. Josh something or another. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. Maybe Josh Feldman, I believe. Josh Feldman. And then Mike Herrera is one of the members, and he's from MXPX. I know that. I think Travis Barker plays with them sometimes, but he does not play the Midwest with them. Instead, 2 years ago, they got a guy just from the street day of here in St. Louis, and he played with them again. But anyway, Josh Heldman, he was like, you know, he didn't want to leave the stage, so he's like, okay, we'll get off the stage, and then I'll be damned if he didn't just jump back up to the mic and just played Superman by himself with no backup on his guitar all alone, and the crowd sang it with him, and it fucking rocked. And then you could see the poor soundstage guy, the guy probably working either for the Point or working for the venue, he was like stressing. He was like, oh, this is going to come back on me. You could see his body language that he was worried as can be. What if lightning hits and kills the lead singer of Goldfinger? What, it's going to be on me. But it was awesome. 30-minute downpour. After that, I went, I think, I can't remember at what point we Everclear played. Everclear's fine. I like Everclear a lot. I've seen them a bunch of times. Their sound is not great anymore. And I don't know if that's old, what's his name? Alexakis? Or what? Alexakis, however you pronounce it. He was great. He's a great dude. He's always fun when I've seen him in smaller venues, but when I've seen him outdoors or in bigger venues, it's just not sound very good. And I love their songs. But after the rain delay, I ran back up onto the fence in the big part of the show for the big stage and watched Goldfinger come out and finish their set. They did an abbreviated set. I didn't hear Mabel, but we did see 99 Red Balloons and all that. And they're just, if you have a chance to go see Goldfingers, go fucking do it. Out of our 5-point unofficial untapped scale for rating things, they are a 5. They are phenomenal. And you probably know tons more songs than you think you know of them. So go check that out. But after that, it was time for The Urge. And everybody knows, and you've heard us on this podcast talk about Steve Ewing and stuff, The Urge fucking rocks St. Louis. And they put on another great show. I don't know if it was abbreviated, because they did play less of their non-classic stuff. So from their last two albums, they played only one song from that. And that's How Does It Feel, which is a good song. It's grown on me quite a bit from when I first heard it. But they played the quote-unquote greatest hits tour, all the big ones from their catalog. And Steve usually does a little more interacting with the crowd. That wasn't as much, and so I think everything got compressed because of the storm. We did not stay for Collective Soul. We had a drunk friend. We had two friends from out of town. Rusty and his girlfriend Shayla came from out of town. Oh, and I'm gonna tell her story out of school. Here's the thing: when you stand close to the mosh pit, you got to be expected to get bumped. Shayla may be in a little bit tipsy. Also, is not very mosh pit. She's not very mosh pit experienced. Not well versed in how it works. So this one girl kept bumping her, and so she did, to her credit, warned this girl that if you come back, I'm going to pull your hair. I'll be damned if the girl didn't come back and she pulled her hair. Well, this girl had a quick trigger. She turned around, reached back to. She reached back to O'Fallon from where we were and slapped the dog shit out of Shayla. And I'm talking if you've ever watched those Russian slap fighting competitions, she reached back and slapped the ever-loving shit out of our friend Shayla, which sparked Missy. So Missy was about to go headlong into battle, and I grabbed her because I saw what happened. And as much as I love Rusty and Shayla, and I think Rusty will back me up here, it was a lot more Shayla's fault than it should have been, just because she was a little inebriated and she didn't really know how to behave on a mosh pit or at a mosh pit. And you pull someone's hair. I told Missy, if someone would have pulled your hair, they'd have slapped you. And she goes, yeah, but you should have let me go defend my friend. Agree. But sometimes, and so the girl's boyfriend kind of got rambunctious. So the crowd was quickly turning on these two because they were kind of annoying anyway. But I jumped in there. I said, hey, nothing's happening here. She pulled your hair. You slapped her. We're calling it a wash. And I really was calm and collected because I had only had at this point in the day like one, maybe two beers. I was not drunk. The dude did irritate me because he kept going about it. This is a mosh pit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, if you feel like you want to keep going about this, then by all means, let's do something about it. I have no problem beating your ass. And the security, and he was not, listen, guys, I'm not sitting here telling you how big and badass I am, but I was way bigger than this guy. I was, he was young, stupid. They clearly were idiots. They too were already drunk on the day. And it was just, Shayla pulled her hair and she got slapped for it. I think that's a reasonable response to the situation. I mean, if I have no hair to pull, but if someone reaches back and grabs a handful of hair on my wife and she turns around and slaps them, I'm not going to stop my wife. I'm like, hey, yeah, that person, you had that coming. But it made for a hell of a story. I wish I could have filmed it, because I'm telling you, she got every bit of her money's worth on that slap. And Shayla, honest to God, didn't even let it ruin her night. She got drunk enough and had a good enough time that by the time we got home, it was all dick and fart jokes and vagina jokes by the time we were done. So it didn't ruin the night. It was a good night. That happened really early in the night. That was like an hour into it, if that. So it was fun. Overall, the show was pretty good. It wasn't my favorite Wayback Point Fest, but that had more to do with the rains coming and delaying everything. But still, pretty awesome. I don't know if I have anything else. I'll tell you this, though. If you haven't listened to the last episode of this podcast, go back and check it out with the guys, Jim Ousley and Ben Sawyer from Butcher Queen. I am going to go. I'll meet out. If you want to, meet me at the debut for their comic on September 20th at Wizarding Place. Oh, gosh, I got to look that up, the name of the place, and I apologize for not knowing the name of the place. Those guys were as fun as can be. The only bad thing about the entire episode, and the only negative, and it's a big one, is they agree with Bender about Last Jedi. So that means we've got that going. But other than that, it was a fun episode, and I highly recommend checking out their stuff. I actually just reread Rough and Tumble again after I talked about it. It's still a good book. It wasn't just me enjoying it the first time. It held up for me. I know it's only 4 years, but you know how it works. Sometimes you read a story, you reread it again within a year or two, and you're like, maybe this isn't as great as I thought. No, it's very awesome. I can't wait to read Butcher Queen as it comes out. I'm going to hit them up. Hopefully they have a Dead Palace there the night I go, because I'm going to get that. So that's that. So just check them out. And don't forget, I brought it up again. Go check out the Facebook page, Stan Needs a New Bean or Stan Needs a New Kidney, because our friend Stan Walker, starting dialysis, definitely needs all the help he can get on finding and tracking down a kidney. And we hope to help him do that in some small way. So go do that. Also, go hit up our guys at the Beer Sauce Shop. I mean, I'm going to be a shill at the end of this episode, but 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Go check that out. It is football season going into this weekend. I've drafted all my fantasy teams. I won't tell you anything about my teams. I did get a B- on one draft grade, and I got a C on one draft grade. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that got an A win, so I feel good about that. But, I think I'm about done. I think I've rambled on for just enough on this episode. So if there's anything else you can take away from this episode, take away Oasis sucks. Prove me wrong. Fight me. Whatever it is. I don't like that meme very much, but Oasis is awful. Fight me. So there you go. So go on Twitter, Oasis, hashtag Oasis sucks or hashtag Oasis rocks. How about that? That one makes more sense. And come on the show. Otherwise, look out for the boys to get back on here. I can't wait for them to get back on here. I kind of miss hanging out with my two hetero life mate co-hosts. I can't use that joke. That's a How Pal joke, and we've always claimed to be Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes and hetero life mates. But they are my co-hosts, and I miss them. I'd like to get one or both back on as soon as I can, and maybe we'll get the Flop back on, even though she's not been missing that long. She did one, two episodes ago with us. If there's anything else that I missed, too fucking bad. We'll just have to wait till the next episode. I apologize for the solo format. Again, I know how you guys love listening to me talk for 35, 40 minutes. Hopefully you can get through it. That's it. I'm done talking. That's the episode. Here comes the music, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.